Psalms 116, verse number 1. We're real close to our verse, aren't we? 115, verse 1. We ought to just quote that right quick. You visitors, this is our church verse. Since we're that close, you can just read it and follow along. Let's say it with Psalms 115, verse number 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Amen. Praise God. I just was getting ready to read Psalms 116, verse 1, and right there close was that verse, and that's our church verse, and it's over our doorway right there. We want to try to adopt that into our life and line up with it, and I believe it's the secret. I believe it's the key. God's looking for a man in whose hand is glory is safe is a statement that I heard a few years ago that stirred me and changed me. And I brought that back to the church thinking, well, if that's true with a man or an individual, would that not also be true with a church? God's looking for a church that he can put his glory on and it's safe. He doesn't have to worry about us taking credit or, you know, infringing on it. And so we quote that verse often, and we really mean it when we say, not unto us, O Lord. So that knocks most people out, Brother Frankie. They want the attention. They want all of that. But we say, not unto us, O Lord. Not, and it's repeated, not unto us, O Lord. Amen. But then it says, but unto thy name. But unto thy, not unto us, Lord, but unto thy name. Give glory. Why? For thy mercy. You know what mercy is, don't you? That's what kept you from getting what you deserve. And I'm looking at a lot of people, and you're looking at one preacher right here. I tell you what we deserve. We deserve condemnation. We deserve wrath. We deserved the full judgment of God. We deserved hell. That's what we deserve. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. That's what's at stake, is for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I better get off that, or we'll never get in Psalm 116. Amen. That verse is personal to me and precious to me. Psalms 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Well, that's good, isn't it? Being a Christian is not a 3 or 4 week thing, 3 or 4 month thing, 3 or 4 year thing. It is as long as I live thing. Amen. I've seen so many wobble on the shaft and fizzle out and quit and throw in the towel and be serious one time and then just their life is a joke the rest of the time. David said, what I have in mind to do to the Lord and for the Lord is as long as I live. Anyway, verse 3, the sorrows of death compass me, the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I like that. I was brought low and he helped me. Don't get too excited about that right there. I'm looking at a bunch right here. The Lord has helped you. When you was brought low, when circumstances brought you low, situations brought you low, and at times even choices that you made brought you low, I'm glad the Lord helped me. If the Lord hadn't helped me, I wouldn't be here tonight. I know that sounds like a simple statement, but that's a factual statement. Thank God, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Amen. Paul said, having therefore obtained help of the Lord, I continue unto this day. Oh, my goodness. Amen. That's right. Verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Verse number 8 is shouting grounds. He's delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. What about that? Verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore. Boy, I'm glad there's a therefore that follows the statement, I believed. Believing is active. Bible faith is active faith. Bible faith is moving faith. Amen. James, the epistle of James knocks it in the head, buddy. Anybody that claims to have faith and it doesn't show up in your actions, it doesn't show up in your work, in your ways, things like that. He said, oh, that's not real. That's not of God. But here it says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. There should be verbal evidence that you believe. I believe, therefore I have spoken. That is, I speak what I believe. If you don't speak it, you probably don't believe it. Oh. Yeah, if it never comes out of your mouth, it's not in your heart. Say amen right there. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? That'll be our scriptures for tonight. Verse 12. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant, I am thy servant, the son of thy handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will. Y'all, have y'all seen that repetition down through there? Not one time did David say, we will, or they will. He said it personal, I will. Verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. We touched on vows a little bit this morning with the mother in 1 Samuel 1 of about Hannah. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of having a copy of the inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God. And Lord, that we can read it and read it with confidence that we have your Word. We pray, Lord, that you'll help me for the next few minutes, Lord, to say what you want me to say. I pray, God, we'll be anointed with power from on high. I pray, God, the touch of heaven would be in this service. I know people are tired and weary, been a long day possibly for several, and maybe some not feeling well, but I pray that you'll get us tonight beyond the physical. I pray you'll get us beyond ourselves and beyond the human and beyond the earthly. And Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will get us into the heavenly and to the supernatural and the spiritual, I pray. May your will be done, Lord, in this meeting tonight, and may you get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I'm interested. I'll read again in verse number 12, where verse 12 says, what shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I render unto the Lord? It's what I want to preach on tonight, or try to. And it says, for all his benefits. Amen. Psalms 1, listen, a lot of people's interested in, what the world can give them. But here we're drawing our attention tonight to the benefits that the Lord bestows upon his children. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Thank God. Amen. There was a time I thought sin would benefit me. There was a time I thought the world would benefit me. But it didn't benefit me. It burdened me, but it didn't benefit me. But I'm glad the Lord here is the resource of true benefit. And so I'm thankful for that, and I'm glad I know him tonight. Amen. But the question Verse 12 is a question. What shall I render unto the Lord? I believe that's a good question for all of us to ask this evening. What shall I render the Lord? It's not just a one-sided thing. He bestows benefits on me and that's the end of it. No, it should go full circle back to Him. Amen. It comes to us as a benefit or to go back to Him as a blessing. We ought to bless His name and praise Him and give Him thanksgiving for all His benefits that He's bestowed upon us. Amen. The first thing I want to share with you tonight is, number one, the meaning of benefits. What's the meaning of benefits? Well, I looked up that word, what it means, and the word benefits here means to a bestowment, a benefit, and and in parentheses, the definition had, a benefit is something that is advantageous, something that is good for you, something that is making, oh, I love this, making improvements. Aren't you glad God is in the business of bestowing benefits or improvements in your life? Well, that's good, ain't it? Hallelujah. And I believe when He does that, it will be evident. I believe it will be evident to you, and I believe it will be evident through you that He has done that and is doing that. So the benefit, the meaning is that which will be an advantage or an improvement. And so that's the meaning. And listen, Psalms 103 verse 2, we could all quote that verse and we have. You know, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. And then verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all, and forget not all His benefits. Forget not all of the improvements. I've never met one person yet, Brother Fultz, that said that getting saved didn't bring improvements. Amen. Getting saved brings a change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Getting saved certainly brings a change, and it's a change for the better. Getting saved makes improvements. It'll make you a better person, a better neighbor. Amen. That's right. Boy, I like that. Psalm 68 and verse 19, we'll look at this verse a little bit later on. But the verse says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah. Daily, I like that, don't you? Y'all like that word, daily? I like the next word too, loadeth. I like this, us. I could understand if it had said angels, but us, He daily loads us up with benefits. So that's a little bit about the meaning of what the benefits of God are, is that it's that that brings about improvement that God puts on your life. See, a benefit is something you didn't have until you got it. It was a benefit. A benefit is what you did not have until God bestowed it on you, until God put it on you. Thank God. Amen. Boy, it's good to be saved, ain't it? Number two, I see in this passage of Scripture not only the meaning of benefits, but also the mercy of benefits. God is putting benefits in verse number 12, well, actually in this whole chapter, on people that are not deserving of it. Nowhere did David make any claim of being deserving of the benefits that God had given to him. In fact, he felt humbled. He felt humbled and he asked the question himself, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? So David is recognizing the benefits of God comes through mercy. Amen. Don't ever get to where you think that God owes you something. Don't ever get to the place where you think that you're worthy. Amen. If there's anything God hates, it's pride. Pride is the seedbed, no doubt, of all sin. Guarantee it, amen. The devil can get you thinking you're somebody then you'll not be one that is blessing the Lord for his benefits. Amen. So there's the mercy that's involved in it. And we could say some more about that. Number three, I just want to comment about the many of his benefits. Notice that word benefit, benefits in verse 12 has an S on it. Now, I'm not one to give an English lesson tonight, but when you put an S on benefit and make it benefits, that makes it plural. That makes it many. Amen. How long's it been since you looked in your life and started taking a roll call of the many blessings and benefits? You know, I never have got discouraged doing that. Huh? I never have got discouraged counting my blessings. I know the song in our hymn book says count your blessings and name them one by one. Actually, you and I probably could say we could count our blessings and count them ton by ton, because our lives are filled with the blessings and benefits of God. But you know, when you get discouraged, you can't see that. You can't see that far. You focus on what you don't have and who don't like you and who's talking about you, and you focus on those things. But God says, I want you to recognize that your life is filled with multiple blessings. I mean, you think about it. It's a lot bigger than what we could deal with in one message and in the details. I mean, you think about your physical blessings. Just that alone. You think about your physical blessings. Of all the complexity that's involved in your body, of your heart and arteries and blood vessels and nervous system and muscles and chemicals and all that's made up. Didn't David have it right when he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made? I mean, just the complexity of your eye, how it focuses and your brain picks up those images, and isn't that amazing? Oh yeah, being able to hear, being able to form words, have your vocal cords working, your heart beating, even when you're unconscious of it at night when you're asleep, the function of your lungs and your other organs of your body, your equilibrium, being able to just be able to stand up, be able to have balance. Hey man, now don't get me wrong right here. When's the last time you thanked the Lord for just being able to go to the bathroom? A lot of people can't even do that. A lot of people doesn't have the ability to do that. Are y'all listening? God's just trying to get us to recognize that he's been good to us. He has blessed us, amen, physically. He's blessed us materially. Amen. God, I'm looking at some people tonight that God has been good to you materially. Wearing the best clothes you probably ever had. Driving the best car you probably ever had. Eating the best food. Well, I don't know about the best food good for you, but probably some of the best food that you've ever ate in your life. Sleeping in the best bed you've ever had. Probably living in the best house you've ever had. What about that? I don't know if y'all have ever heard of the Waldenses people that was involved in our Baptist history, our Baptist heritage. I went this past week down to Valdez, North Carolina, and they have a big exhibit set up. It's called the Waldensian Trail of Faith. And you could actually go through that thing and go even inside a replica of the cave that they hid out in trying to hide from persecutors. The Catholic Church was trying to kill them, you know. And they're in our lineage. They're in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And we have a Bible because of that. Amen. The Geneva Bible comes straight through them. Amen. And right on down the line, we have a King James Bible. And I'm talking, brother, brutally tortured those people. I mean, they had portraits, and I watched a little film of it. And And I thought they were, that church wasn't just interested in killing them, but was interested in torturing them. I mean, I wouldn't even in a mixed company begin to describe some ways that they tortured them. The Waldensians people, you ought to do a study on that and a research on that. The Waldensian Trail of Faith, and it'll bring it up. And they hid out in that cave, and they got to watching them, the state church got to watching them from a distance, and they found the hole where they would crawl in, and they had that replica, but I wasn't about to crawl through there. Me, claustrophobic, I'd have tore that mountainside off. I'd have rearranged that cave, amen, I guarantee it. So I wasn't about to crawl through that hole. So they had a door for me, amen. So I just went through the door and walked in there. But they didn't have a door on that original. They just crawled through this little hole, and they went back in this cave, and they only had one little small, I don't know why I'm telling all this, it had just one little small hole in the top of the cave. That's where they got their oxygen and their air. Well, when they were spotted and found out where they were at, then of course they come in on them and smoked them out. They dropped fire and smoke and stuff down through that hole and smoked them out. And as they come out one by one, they came out to their death and were slaughtered. I mean, slaughtered. That's our Baptist heritage. Like, are y'all listening? That's our Baptist heritage. I'm not talking about independent Baptists. I'm talking about just Baptists. If you got Baptists on your sign, if you got Baptists, listen, don't be ashamed of that. Thank God. The Baptist forefathers that bled and died majorly was involved in the Bible that you and I have laid in your lap. And majorly involved in the founding of this country. Majorly involved in the foundation of this country. So we're thankful for that. But I went into the replica of their houses. That they had a replica of their houses. And I walked in there and I thought, my goodness, we are blessed. We are blessed. They only had just a little, maybe a little small table right there, and sometimes it was just made out of a rock. They had maybe just one little small bed over in the corner. No insulation. You know, I don't see how they kept from freezing absolutely to death. But I thought when I went in those houses, or in the house, or went in their schoolhouse, Miss Paul Sue, and saw that, I thought it was a bookshelf. I thought there was a bookshelf. It was going up the side of the wall, you know, just about that far apart. And I thought, well, I just walked by it, you know, and was looking around, and I thought that was a bookshelf. I said, well, it's nice. They put the books on there. But then I saw a picture. That wasn't a picture. That wasn't a bookshelf. That was where the little kids took naps. They would shove a kid in this hole, and this hole, and this hole, and this hole, and this hole. And it showed a picture of those kids in there, piled in there, and took. That's where they took their naps. But I just was overwhelmed, really. Overwhelmed how good God's been to us. One, to give us such a heritage. Such a goodly heritage. Such a godly heritage. God has been good to us. And we ought to bless His name and thank Him for it. Amen. Well, I could have told you more about that, and that's really stirred my interest there. I didn't even know that place existed, but it was definitely worth my time and to go there and see that. But anyway, there's the many of the benefits that we're seeing. The benefits is plural. Psalm 68:19, where I quoted earlier, read it earlier, where He daily loadeth us up with benefits. Daily. That word daily means continual, perpetually. Now, daily means every day, all day, presently, continually, perpetually, always, everlasting, and more. Thank God. He's good. He got Monday benefits, Tuesday benefits, Wednesday benefits, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday benefits. Daily, every day, each day, all day, benefits God is showering down upon us. Amen? We're blessing the Lord tonight. Amen? That's right. But let me just go through, if I could, and point out some right here in the Scripture of those benefits. For instance, in verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, here's what is magnified as a benefit. God hears me. That's a good benefit, isn't it? That's a daily benefit. Sad, though, it's a benefit that we abuse. A lot of people don't pray on a daily basis. I heard on the radio not long ago that I think the average Christian prayed like less than a minute a day. Amen. God help us. And if you can't pray, you can't do anything else. But here, that's a benefit. God hears me. And then verse number 5, we have that God's attributes toward me are mentioned here as blessings. There's 3 of them given. Look in verse 5. Gracious, righteous, and merciful. You see that? Gracious is His undeserved, unmerited favor upon us. His righteousness, or His Him being righteous toward us, means that He's right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So there's the attribute of gracious. There's the attribute of Him being righteous, correct. Amen. We may not can explain God, but we can always say that God is right. And sometimes you have to say that by faith. I've had to do that. I've wanted an explanation, but I never got any. There was times that I wanted God, and I've asked God, listen, I know you probably have as well, Lord, why? Why did this happen? Or why did you not do this? Or why did you allow that? And you know, and I'm not going to go back in the story, but that's what I did when my mom died. Boy, I miss her today. Miss Paul Sue, I know you miss your mom and others here. Your mom's already gone. We miss them, don't we? I tell you, ain't nobody like mama. And nobody ever take her place. Amen. I don't care to tell you. I tell it everywhere I go. I'm a mama's boy. I was a mama's boy. I still am a mama's boy. I wish I had her here today. I'd love to hug her neck right in front of you. Amen. Amen. Me and mom was close. She was instrumental in me getting saved. That's right. When I was being foolish, she was being faithful. When it looked like the devil, in spite of everything, was going to drag me to hell, mama said, oh no. I'm doing business in the throne room. I'm doing business with my boy, for my boy. He may not know it while he's out there being stupid and sinful. I thank God for that praying mama, hallelujah, that prayed a hole in the sky for me. Had a man, a grown man, make fun of me when I was preaching a revival, actually Brother King's church, down above Chattanooga there in a town called Tullahoma. And there was a man, I mentioned that right there one night about being a mama's boy. He come up to me at the church, making fun, laughing, you know, poking at me for being a mama's boy. I got him the next night from the pulpit. Amen. I pointed him out. I said, this fella right here, of course I know him. I said, he was talking about me and laughing at me, making fun of me, being a mama's boy. Let me just say in front of everybody, I am a mama's boy, and I'm tickled to death to be a mama's boy. Amen. I wasn't going to let his joking and carrying on quieten me down about that. I'd love to have been able to got mama on the phone today. At least got her on the phone. I'd love to have heard her voice again. And I will one day. Hallelujah. Boy, thank God for the blessed hope that God's given us. That it's not just in this life only that we have hope, because Jesus rose from the dead. We have hope beyond the grave. And thank God, if you've been born again and they've been born again, there's a reunion day coming, hallelujah, and we'll get to meet again. And when we do meet again, Brother Craig, I want to tell you, there will never be a departing ever again. No sad farewells in that land. No goodbyes in that land. Hallelujah. Thank God. Just, I'll see you in the morning, Mom. It's been a few years now, but days are clicking off and years are coming and going. And we're on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a helping me, amen. And not just seeing Mama, thank God, I'm going to see Daddy too. Thank God, amen. We'll just stop and shout a little bit over that, amen. I'm glad that the grave is not the end. I'm glad, oh, listen, we follow him out to the hillside, and And we lower the remains down in that old hole. But we want to tell you that's not them. That's just the old tent and tabernacle they dwelt in. Thank God the real person took flight to worlds unknown to be absent from the body. Has to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
Thank God I have a hope.
Miss Patchett, we'll meet again. Amen. Just as sure as He lives, we shall live also. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's not over with for God's people. In fact, you'll know the truth of it. It'll never be over for God's people. Not in this life or in the life to come. When we step out of time, we're going to step into eternity. And the big family is going to have a meeting at the big house. And we're going to have a big time forever. You don't want to miss it. And it'll take a glorified body to stand it. It's going to be so good. Hallelujah. Thank God. Son, ain't that good? Can I just stop here a minute? Paul, I believe the Apostle Paul, writer of the book of Hebrews, he said, Hebrews 12, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Witnesses. A witness is somebody that knows something firsthand. Who do you think those witnesses are? It's people that's already run the race, already crossed the finish line. Hey, and they're up there in the grandstands, if you will. The Bible said we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Yeah, I'm not trying to get emotional. That's a fact. Mama's in that crowd. Daddy's in that crowd. Grandma's in that crowd. Grandpa, my old preaching grandpa's in that crowd. Amen. I don't know all of what they're doing, but I've got a good feeling. Why would you be in the grandstand if you're not cheering a song? And when you're up in that grandstand, brother, you can actually look over yonder and see the finish line. We may not can see the finish line, sis, because of the hills and humps and valleys and curves and obstacles and maybe even some other runners in the way. But maybe that grandstand crowd is cheering a song. Y'all about to make it? Just one more turn. Thank God you're fixing to hit the home stretch. Give it all you got. Don't quit now. Yes, amen. Boy, I'm telling you, God's helping me tonight. I don't know how I got on all that. God's attributes toward me. Gracious. Gracious. Undeserved help and favor. My goodness, if we got what we deserved just today, if we got what we deserved, we'd be in a mess. But I'm glad, I'm glad Jesus got what I deserved. And I got what He deserved. He got my record, and I got His record. My record was pitiful. And amen, His record was perfect. I took His, and He took mine. And He died on my cross. He died not only for me, but He died as me. And I get to go to heaven because the sin debt has been paid. The cry and the demands of the law has been paid. Amen, that's right. Good night, that's helping me. Gracious, righteous, merciful. The word merciful there means pity. Having mercy or pity, compassionate. To love deeply. That's him, ain't it? Hey, isn't that a benefit? Verse 6, here's another one, a great benefit. The Lord preserveth the simple. That's me. Simple. That's me. That's me, amen. The word simple, how many in here, is that you? You might want to wait till I give you the definition before you say it to you. Because it ain't going to puff up your pride. Amen. It's not going to puff up your pride. In fact, it's really, it means the one that is lacking wisdom. Lacking wisdom and constantly being exposed to danger. You heard Miss June talk about being ignorant. That's the way we were. And the way we still are in a lot of areas. But I'm glad that that's a benefit to us, that God preserveth the simple. The word preserveth means that He keeps. He's a keeper. He's a watchman. He watches over. He watches out for those that are simple, those that are lacking wisdom. Amen. That's a great benefit, isn't it? I'm talking about the many benefits. Verse number 6 is another benefit mentioned. I referenced it earlier. I'll just hit it and go on. Verse 6 says, I was brought low, and the Lord, and He helped me. There's a benefit, the help of the Lord. There's a benefit, amen. The Lord helped me. The words brought low means to be dried up, means to be impoverished, it means to be emptied, having nothing to offer, having nothing to give. God said, I tell you what, I help that crowd that don't have nothing. I help that crowd that is nothing. Amen. So God's help, God's assistance in life is a benefit. Here's another benefit, verse 7. Verse number 7 tells us about God's bountiful dealings. Look at verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. And you know what that word means, Brother Webb? Bountifully, to treat a person well. Isn't that a benefit? God treats us well. Have no complaints. I do complain. We all do. I'm glad God don't do in the New Testament what He did in the Old Testament. God killed that crowd that complained in the Old Testament. If God killed the complainers now, there wouldn't be no preachers and wouldn't be anybody to preach to. God help us, forgive us for complaining. Amen. We ought to be thankful. That's another thing that's mentioned in verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let me give you an example of what Brother Randy Shields, I was with this week in revival meeting. He and his wife used to be in the country of Georgia, over somewhere in the neighborhood of Russia over in there in Ukraine and all that. And him and his wife, Buddy, is a godly woman. I mean, Buddy, she walks with God. I mean, just, you know, a holy woman. And the people was on to Brother Shields. You know, they they knew that he was having a church and was preaching to people and all that and winning people to the Lord and starting a church. And one day, unexpectedly, and he told me that his phone was tapped, his house was bugged, he was constantly being followed over there in Georgia, constantly being followed with men with long black coats, you know, and just always all around them all the time, following them, no matter where they went. Well, one day, now I'm talking about Thanksgiving. They was getting ready to, well, they was just walking down the sidewalk, him and his wife. Well, this car pulls up, the door opens, and all these black coat men gets out. And they grab him and start trying to push him into the car. Of course, well, you wouldn't have to guess at what probably they were going to do. You know, they was beat him up and probably kill him. His wife, watching this now, the verse of Scripture that says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. She's standing right there, close at hand, watching her husband trying to be forced into a car, and that verse of Scripture come to her mind. She throws her hands in the air and starts blessing Jesus and thanking Jesus. And God moved in that situation. Those men that was trying to capture, they couldn't tell what she was saying, because she was saying it in English. But they seen her hands in the air and her blessing the Lord and thanking the Lord. The Lord knew what she was saying. And the Lord moved in that situation, and those men let him go. And she said this. She probably don't weigh 90 pounds soaking wet. And she said this. She said, "Preacher, when I started thanking Jesus and just blessing his name, even in a situation like that," she said, "I just started blessing the name of the Lord." She said, "It was almost like my husband's feet were cemented to the sidewalk, and they would push and pull, and they couldn't move him." Oh, Lord, have mercy. I don't know that I'd be that spiritual, Brother Carroll, but I'd hope that the scripture would be that big to where if I got in a situation, I'd just say, "Lord, I don't know the outcome of all this, but I just want to thank you that you've been good to us. You've saved us. You've blessed us. You've bestowed benefits in our life, and we praise you. In everything, give thanks." Do we really believe that? Do we really take that literal? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. She told of another occasion. They were constantly being attacked, constantly. And she told of another occasion, several occasions, in fact. Both of them was telling me all these stories, and I was just blown away at how God intervened supernaturally, sovereignly, in their situations. One time those men was attacking her husband down on the sidewalk. Well, she heard it, and she was in their apartment or something. Well, she just walks out onto the balcony. And I mean, there's nothing about her scary. She wouldn't weigh 90 pounds. And she walks out onto that balcony, and I don't know what she said she had in her hand. I mean, it wasn't a gun or nothing. And she was just looking down at them. She was just looking down at that crowd, as they were trying to attack her husband. Well, the first one looked up and saw her, and then they started rattling off in this Georgian language. I don't know what they were saying, but in just a moment or two, they abandoned their attack and left. Amen. I think I want her to be on my prayer list, amen. I want her to pray for me, amen. I mean, a godly woman. Amen. Amen, that's right. But God's been so good to us. I could tell you some more stories about that. I love to hear stories like that, don't you? How God intervened. Amen. How many thinks you could survive being in a shower with 240 volts of electricity coming through the water and you're standing in 2 inches of water? You think the survival rate of that would be any at all? Happened to him. Had some plumbing electrical work, and the man evidently didn't know what he was doing and shorted it out. And when he was taking a shower, 240 volts was hitting him coming through that water, and him standing in water. That don't go good together. Electricity and water don't go good together. I mean, I can't even stand static electricity. I can't. To touch a door handle and it pops my finger, I can't stand it. Hey, man, I can't stand it. I'm a wimp, I guess. I just hate shock. I hate any kind of shock. And he was being electrocuted. And she was in the kitchen, and she heard just a real faint cry. And she thought it was her daughter or son first. And then she listened again, and he was saying, "Help me." But it was real faint. You know. And the third time, she just barely heard it. And when she went in there, he was already unconscious. And I mean, it was killing. Look, you'd think that would have done killed him. And she went over to him, and Brother Carroll, listen to this. This is such, you're talking about the blessings of God? Just a few weeks earlier, somebody from the States asked, you know, if they had any needs. You know what she requested, Miss Jamathan? Rubber bottom, like sandals type things, with rubber bottoms, because the floor over there in that cold climate was so cold, her feet was freezing off. So she got thick rubber bottom like sandals or shoes. Just so happened that she, you know, I'd like to have some rubber bottom shoes, not having no clue what was coming. She had them on and was able to go in there and grab a hold of him without her being shocked. And pulls him out of that, all that. Ain't that amazing? Man, they love the Lord, I'm telling you. Goodness gracious. I mean, I got to meet some heroes. I don't know how I got on that. I'm rambling. Forgive me. God preserveth the simple, God's help, God's bountiful blessings to treat a person well, God's deliverance in verse number 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. But here's the part I want to close with, the moving of the benefits. David said, these benefits should move me. They should cause me to want to render back to the Lord and return back to the Lord something for His goodness to us. It's not that we can repay Him. You and I could never repay the Lord for His goodness to us. But it wouldn't hurt a bit to be thankful and ask the question at least, what shall I, can I render back to the Lord for all of His blessings on me? And I thought about this. You could just write these down. They're just simple, and they're right down through here. Verse 1, I mean, you can just love the Lord. Wouldn't that be a good thing to render back to the Lord your affection? Not render it to the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're not talking about that. We're talking about loving the Lord, just loving the Lord. Don't you think that'd be good to render back to the Lord? Lord, I love you. When's the last time you told him? When's the last time you told him and meant it? Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. Amen. You know that's a blessing to him. Verse number 2 and verse number 4, what you can render back to the Lord is a prayer life. I think it blesses the Lord for you to talk to him. I believe it blesses him for you to talk to him. Verse 3 and 4, I just wrote this down. Verse 3 and 4, just simply, what can you render back to the Lord is don't quit in your hard times. David's writing here in verse 3, and he said, the sorrows of death have compassed me. The pains of hell have gotten hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Did he quit? No, look at the next verse. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. So I believe that's something you and I could render to the Lord is simply don't quit in troubles and sorrows. And we all know people that have. We've all seen people get slack in a time of heartache and hard times. But David said, when all this was going on in my life, he said, it was then that I called upon the Lord. And then verse number 9, what you can render to the Lord is a God-conscious life. Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will walk in a God-consciousness. I will walk alert to Him in the land of the living. That sounds simple, don't it? But there's a lot of people in church that hardly even think about God from Sunday to the next service. Amen. So busy in their life, they hardly ever think about God. Amen. God help us to think about Him. Be God conscious. Be aware and alert to Him. And then here's you another one, verse number 10, that you can render unto the Lord is your trust. I believe you, Lord. I believed, and verse number 10, and therefore have I spoken. I believe it means something to the Lord when we can just simply say, Lord, I trust you. And I did that. Back, I was telling you that story about Mom. It come to the place where I was starting to get bitter toward the Lord. And I seen what it was doing. It was eating my spirituality out. It was draining the joy out of my life. And I got in a prayer closet, and I said, Lord, and I meant it. I said, Lord, I don't know why you took Mom and Daddy back-to-back years. I don't know why you did that. And Lord, you don't owe me an explanation. And I meant that. And I meant this too. I said, Lord, I choose to trust you. That you did right. And when I said that and meant that, joy come back in my heart. Amen. You may not know what's going on and can't see, can't explain it, but just say, Lord, I trust you. I really do trust you. As we preached about this morning, Hannah trusted the Lord with her son. You're in good hands when you're in the Lord's hands. Amen. And then, verse number 13, when we take the cup of salvation, when we partake of that, when we drink of that, when we enjoy that through our life, the cup of salvation. And then, I'm just rattling these off here, verse 14 and verse 18, when you practice what you profess is a good what you can render back to the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of His people. Verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of His people. You know how you can honor the Lord? Practice what you profess. You profess to be saved? Live like it. Talk like it. Walk like it. Act like it. Amen. Let it be evident in your life, everywhere in your life, that you are in fact a born again Christian. Amen. What is it? Thessalonians talks about the Lord knoweth them that are His. Old Brother Vance Havner, witty theologian, witty Bible scholar, years ago, he made the statement on that verse where it said that the Lord knoweth them that are His. He said, I'm glad the Lord knows them that are His, because he said, I have a hard time recognizing some of them. That ought not to be so in our life. It ought to be evident in your life, the way you talk, the habits you have in your life, the way you conduct yourself. Amen. Your dress, I mean the way you appear in public, all of those things and many, many other things that can be added to that list. You ought to ask yourself, does this say amen to my profession and my claim of Christ? So I think that's something good you and I can render back unto the Lord. Look at verse 15. I believe we can add this one. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I wrote this down. I'll tell you what we can render back to the Lord. Finish well. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of what? His saints. In other words, when they drew their last breath, they were still living that saintly life. Amen. Finish well. Our girl, somebody, a youth choir, somebody sings that song here, wanting to finish well. Finish well. I want to finish well, don't you? Paul said that in his dying words. Last words, recorded words. I fought a good fight, kept the faith. I finish my course. I want to finish well, don't you? Amen. Some started rocky and will end well. Some started well, but it's going to end rocky. Amen. Some started well and will end well. Some started bad and will end bad. But I want to be that crowd that starts well and ends well. I had a good start. I got saved in a 7-week revival meeting. Praise God. That's right. So we finish well. And then verse 16, be a servant of God. Verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. That's a good thing you can render back to the Lord, isn't it? Be a servant. Serving the Lord. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's what the scripture said in Psalms 100. Serve the Lord. Be a servant of God. And then last, verse 17 and verse 19, you can render back to the Lord, have a faithful, worshiping church life. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 19, where at? In the courts of the Lord's house. In the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. You know what you can render back to the Lord? I wish we had more people here to hear this tonight. Amen. You can have and you can render back to the Lord a faithful, worshiping church life. Amen. I preached on being faithful a few weeks ago. It lasted a couple of Sundays anyhow. We had record numbers. A couple of Sundays and a couple of Wednesday nights, but that's all went south already. Guess I'd preach on it again, Brother Fultz. I don't want a Christianity that requires a preacher to constantly be pushing me, pulling on me. Amen. That ain't no good. That ain't no good on the preacher. That'll give him ulcers and sleepless nights and cause him to want to go into evangelism or something. No, I don't want that. I don't like preaching that way. Amen. Nobody's ever had to preach to me about being faithful. Brother Fultz, nobody's had to preach to me. When I got saved, God put a love in my heart about church and things of God. I need it. I've got to have it. I've got to have a church life. Amen. That's right. Well, so there. That's that. And there's. I'm sure that as we read these verses, I'm sure you probably saw many other things down through there that stuck out that either is a benefit that's coming from God to you, or you may have saw some things in addition to what I said or what I pointed out that is a rendering back to the Lord. Rendering back to the Lord for all His benefits toward me. Amen. I want to do that. I want to do that. I don't want to be selfish. Let's all stand on our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.